Let me introduce you, Wayne. Thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate it. I appreciate you. I have much respect for you and Rose and love. Everybody, this is Wayne Glew, and it's an honor to have him on our channel to just talk and share his wealth of wisdom that he has and knowledge about our Constitution. And I want to talk a little bit about the imperial laws as well today, but we'll get down to that because I think that will also interest people who are living over here in America. So, and I don't know where all I've got people listening to us from, but I know it's going to be interesting for everybody. Welcome to the show, Wayne. Thank you so much for making the time for us. I have a few questions that I would like to ask. Let's start with the one that Julian Assange said that all US governments and government corporations, and the reason I'm saying this is because Australia is registered, as you know, on the, with Dun's and Bradstreet and stuff over here. So he said that all government corporations are, worldwide are dissolved due to breach of oath. All statutory and foreign laws are also dissolved. The only legal framework that remains in effect, our constitutional law, that's the our annotated one in Australia, as outlined in Article 61 of the Magna Carta and established common law. And this directive is specifically for corporate bodies and government workers. Any government corporate body, including the police, judges, lawyers, and any individuals operating in these capacities must cease immediately. So, can you please speak on Article 61 of the Magna Carta for the people? Because I know that that is a very, when I was looking it up and researching it in the past, there's a lot of conjecture around it, isn't it? Article 61.
Well, it's pretty clear when you read the speech of Sir Winston Churchill just after the war. He said we have to be for the Parliament and the British government has to be forever vigilant in looking after the people and not stepping on their rights, because they have the authority under Clause 61 of Magna Carta to do whatever they like to the Parliament or to the government to keep the rights that they have. And that's a pretty strong statement to make. Now, in relation to what you said about, I'll deal with Julian Assange because that has a huge bearing in this country. It's already on the 9th of September last year, they closed all SESTA-K trust accounts, they said, and they closed your birth certificate references. And because we got all that under the Uniroyal Treaty signed by Gough Whitlam in 1973. Now, people don't understand the Uniroyal Treaty was to turn England from under the control of the Church of England to back under the Roman control. And that's what it did, according to them, not in fact. Then they introduced UCC legislation, Uniform Commercial Code,
Correct.
which I got a copy of out of one of your universities. I went into your library and downloaded it. It's about 4 or 5 inches thick. And it's all about maritime law.
Yes.
Now, since what happened on the 9th of September, or just before then, they turned all our courts into courts of presumption because they no longer had maritime law. So when you walk through the door, you become presumed to be guilty
Yes.
and dead under the Corporations Act. You're an object, a thing, or a person,
Yeah.
and that person is dead, floating on the sea of commerce, and that 10 feet underwater under the Sunken Lands Act of 1973. You see, Whitlam put through 300 laws, and they were absolute nonsense.
Yes.
I mean, we had incidents where we used that to get back at them because we said a gentleman I knew claimed part of the Abrolhos Islands because his family had farmed it for 72 years. And the court tried on, oh, you can't farm it. You don't plough it or anything like that. He said, yeah, but I'm a primary producer, so obviously it is a farm. And he said, well, what can you grow there? He said, doesn't matter. What can the farmers grow if they're 10 feet underwater under your own act? And they got out of that pretty quick. They dropped a heap of charges because they had no authority to do it. We suffer from a lack of knowledge.
Correct.
I actually got a document here, and I'll read it because it's interesting for you, what you just said. That's the ABN numbers of all the business, all the government and the police, the courts and everything in this country. They have ABN numbers. They're Australian businesses, and they're registered in FARA in America, Foreign Agents Registration Act, as foreign agent government entities. And they have to come back into this country under the Corporations Act. So everything these people are saying takes away their authority. They take it away themselves through their own stupidity. Because when you're registered federally, you come under federal legislative authority. And state authority only continues subject to the Commonwealth one. So if there's a state law that you don't like how do you allow a company formed under state under federal legislation to come into a state and administer law? Where does that come from?
Right.
It doesn't, because it's got to come in under Chapter 3 of our Constitution. Can't do it. It's not part of the government or the Commonwealth or the states under the provisions of Chapter 3, because we've got an executive, a legislature, and judicature, similar to yours, but not quite as defined as yours. Only the legislature and executive are dead separate to the rest of our judiciary, because our judiciary is part of a complete court system subject to and under the authority of the High Court.
Right.
So our system is somewhat different to America's, but in relation to Magna Carta, we've done a heap of things using it. I seized the three lawful tiers of the federal parliament, the Commonwealth Parliament, because it weren't being used. And everyone says, why'd you do it? Because it's not being used. And I can seize it and hold it in fraud until they prove all their acts, statutes, rules, regulations, and everything else are law. And they say, oh, you can't do that. I said, yes, you can. Because every single one of us are sovereign and supreme in our own right.
Yeah.
And that comes from the King James Bible. And you can't take that away. And our Constitution recognises that. As I said before, the supreme, absolute, and uncontrollable authority remains with the people of the Commonwealth. We are the Commonwealth. We create it. So everybody employed by us is an officer of the Commonwealth. We found out what they were doing when we filed documents into the High Court, and they come back against the politicians in the states, of Western Australia in particular, and they come back and they said they're not officers of the Commonwealth. I said, you just proved that Western Australia is invalid. What are you going to do about it? And they wouldn't answer that. They didn't want to get involved. And I said, you prove, because if you're employed anywhere in the Commonwealth of Australia, you're employed by the Commonwealth, because we're the Commonwealth. We're quasi-sovereign, sit above everything. And you find you've got the red book. It's on page 701. There's a diagram. Shows it. Commonwealth, quasi-sovereign. Underneath it, the Constitution. Underneath it, federal parliament. Underneath that, state parliaments.
Right.
The three systems of government underneath. There's no local government. The Constitution Act coming out of the UK come out as an enabling act.
Right.
It enables we the people to set up a constitution. Now our constitution is a derivative it's a derivative of that act. Because the initial act, which was the draft, came from here, was put together between 1890 and 1898, 99, and it was taken to England by Sir Edmund Barton and came back as an enabling act with nine clauses plus a few extra rights, the right to go directly from every court direct into the Privy Council or from the High Court on appeal to the Privy Council. Now, they say they have authority to, the Parliament has, to alter that. Well, they do. On application from the people. They're saying because we're sovereign and supreme, they have to have an application from us to change that, to improve our access. They're saying they could take away all our rights.
Exactly.
One of our idiot professors, and she's an idiot because she won't listen. When you're told the truth and shown the truth and you don't listen, you're an idiot. You've got to be. So what I put
to her
is we can go... Eh?
And to me.
Yeah, well, you got that right, but I'm not going to go into that because she'll come after you and me then. But I don't care. I can prove she's not telling the truth anyway. But when you look at that, she says the Privy Council has been dissolved in England. It's gone. Well, if you go to England and you go into the High Court, it's been taken into the High Court to run the Court of Chancery in England. And you can't change that. They did it. But they refer you back then to the House of Commons.
Right.
Well, Andrew Rosendahl in the House of Commons, and it's in their website if you want to go in, he is the head of the committee of the people who have taken over the Privy Council. And they deal with all constitutional issues inside the Commonwealth of Australia and New Zealand. They can't take that away. But these clowns sit there and they say, oh, the Privy Council's gone. It hasn't gone. It might have gone out of one room, but it's in the High Court now. It's got more powers. And the things they say just don't make sense. But I can see what she's doing. She teaches the Parliament's above the Constitution, above the the Prime Minister is above the Parliament. It's all nonsense. How can the Constitution on page 676 say the Parliament's not supreme and the very essence of federation is that that must be so? The Parliament, like everyone else, is subject to the law and must abide by it. So they're obviously not supreme. Page 791 says neither the federal nor the state parliament are sovereign bodies. They're only legislatures with limited authority. What limits it? Our constitution.
Right.
How do we know that? You go to page 346. It's very clear. This helps people understand a lot of your questions, by the way.
Right.
If you go to page 346, it says not all enactments of the parliament are valid. Only those made pursuant to, in accordance with, and under the authority granted by the Constitution, and those laws only are binding on the courts, judges, and people.
Mm-hmm.
You've only got to differentiate where the law part comes from. So when it complies with the Constitution, the Senate at federal level or the upper house of the Parliament at state level supply that document approved by the Parliament to the Governor or Governor-General, depending on which, federal or state. He signs on behalf of the Crown, which binds the Crown to a law made pursuant to the Constitution. Now, if it's not in the Constitution,
it doesn't exist.
He can't sign it.
That's right.
If he does do it, it binds the Crown. The Crown can't object, but it allows us to take that law to England for interpretation. By going to the Privy Council, we could do that. Now we can't. That's what we lost in the Privy Council. But we didn't lose the right to object and appeal to the House of Commons and get it dealt with, because at all times we're an inferior parliament to Britain, whether we like it or not, because we're a subordinate one at federal level and a subordinate one at state level to the federal one. That's how it works. You go up steps. Now, people, if you read Clause 8 to the Constitution, it says when the colonies become states, the Boundaries Act no longer applies. So there goes all your boundaries for elections and everything else. It's all nonsense. Okay. They can't have them. You cannot have a fixed border because your quarantine laws were removed, along with telecommunications and everything, from the states under Section 69 of the Constitution. And they were put in 51 subsection 7, 8 and 9, you can read it, you'll find out which ones were put in. But quarantine's banned between the states. You can't quarantine at the states. My argument is, but it says, when the Commonwealth is established, it's established as a self-governing colony of England.
Mm-hmm.
And that Boundaries Act applies. So where's our boundary? 12 nautical miles offshore.
Sorry, mate, can I just get your perspective on this? I think, first of all, they're teaching our kids, our upcoming lawyers and everyone, they're teaching them garbage. They're teaching them their Queen of Australia BS. There's no other way to say it, right? They're not teaching them the real organic constitution, you know, the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution Act 1900 UK. Because the last time I was in Australia, right, and I was talking to one of the kids who... She grew up in my home with my sons and stuff like that. And she's a lawyer. And, we were talking jurisdiction. So I said to her, Meg, you know, can you explain to me? Because normally you've got like four different jurisdictions. You'll have There's the common law, then there's equity, then there's, because they used to mix them up. They used to mix the whole lot up in the courts, right? And then you've got, sorry, you've got common law, you've got equity, you've got maritime, and then you've got admiralty. So there, because there are plenty of jurisdictions, but generally they do a mashup of these. And she says, no, Auntie Gail, you can't, because if you do, it's not allowed. We are not taught anything about that, and we are told specifically, don't talk jurisdiction. And I said, honey, that's garbage. You yourself don't know what the real constitution is. And I think that everyday people think that,
That's correct.
there's no problem with the government making their own constitution. That's just like their rules of operation. It applies to their employees, people who are employed by them during the time they are employed by them. But the average person anywhere in the world is unaware of what is their public figure and what is their private. My problem is a lot of channels are talking about sovereignty when they should be teaching people to understand the accounting. When you understand that that's your job as a sovereign. Like you said, we were chatting earlier and you said, we build stuff, we make stuff, we do stuff, right? And you got to know the accounting too. And people don't understand that part of it. It's a lifestyle being a sovereign. And they get the two mixed up and they think all these laws, which is for their employees, belongs to everyday people who are not the government's employees.
That's exactly correct. What say me? Well, when you go to Magna Carta 1215, the first lie that comes out of the government's mouths is, oh, that's only a statute. We have the power to change it here or alter it.
Correct.
Well, number one, it's not a statute. And how do we know that? Read Section 80 of the Constitution. Because it says clearly, we are not guaranteed by the Constitution the right to trial by jury, because
Right.
that's not a necessity, because the Great Charter grants us that. And that's, you asked the question in relation to Section 39 of Magna Carta. Well, right,
Right.
first you've got to understand Magna Carta is a charter of rights
Right.
inflicted on King John. He tried, but they couldn't, because it was a common law charter from the people, from the
Yeah.
barons. Well, the barons are
Correct.
the House of Lords, 400 spiritual and 400 temporal, so they cover both parts of society, religious and non-religious. So when the bishops came back, they set up the Protestant Church, the protesting church of the Catholic regime. It never ever left. The Catholic Church never left. The same things with modifications by the bishops, which they said is in the Bible, the King James Bible being part of the common law of England. The nine clauses established the Commonwealth as a complete document called the Commonwealth Constitution Act, 1900 UK, the enabling act which enables us to have a constitution. You take
Yeah.
that out, you don't have one. So they think in Western Australia, they took out the status of the state and created it as the state instead of the state of Western Australia. They used the Acts Amendment, Repeals Court and Legal Practice Act, Section 8, to remove all areas of the Crown. They added Section 5, which made all lawyers officers of the court. Well, if an officer of the court is a lawyer, and you bring in Section 44 of the Constitution, his oath to the bar is an unlawful oath. He's sitting in
Correct.
treason, incapable of
Correct.
going in there and sitting.
Correct.
So you treat them with the contempt they deserve. But they say if you try an argument in the court, you're in contempt. No, you're not. HCA 29 of 2009, which I previously referred to, in there, Justice French, who was a Chief Justice, he's from Western Australia originally anyway, he stated, contempt is an arrogant disregard for the authority and the procedure of the court. Now, when a magistrate goes in the court who hasn't sworn the lawful oath in criminal contempt, is under Chapter 3 of the Constitution, or the
Yes.
Constitution. Her authority comes from the Constitution, part of the judicature, but the
Correct.
magistrates are not. I'll come back to that one. Now, the judges who go into the courts go in criminal contempt because they disregard the authority to go in there, which is the oath first. Now, how do we know that's correct? Because you go to HCA 44 of 2006, Forge versus ASIC, Justice Kirby ruled, and you can read it, not only permanent judges, but temporary judges temporary must swear judges. The oath of allegiance before they swear their oath of office. That is clear as a bell. Why is it there? Because that was the issue before the Supreme Court of New South Wales, before it went to the High Court, and he ruled according to the Constitution.
Can I ask you a question? You know, the average person does not have the wealth of knowledge. But beside the wealth of knowledge, you've been blessed to teach at a time like this, but not everyone has that. So then what happens I think a lot of people are very nervous when they go in before these frauds. They're frauds. They're treasonous traitors, right? So what...
None
of their stuff, that all their legislations, all their acts, well, they weren't really on codified statutes. That's all they're working on. It's codified statutes.
Yes. But
none of that applies to you, me, we, the people. So what can the average...
Internet's flying up again.
What can the average person who does not have the wealth of knowledge you do, what can they do to stand up for themselves? Did you get that bit? Right? Can you hear me, mate? No, you're frozen.
Yeah, I think they're really playing with his signal.
They are. They do that all the time because he's not just knowledgeable. He's also born for the time like this. And they know it. And the people know it. And they don't like it. And that's
coming
what it's
back.
Oh,
you were
coming, right?
Yeah, let's we just come back. Look, the court system in this country isn't a court system at all.
Correct.
The court's a presumption. You walk in there, you're guilty. So the onus then has to be on you to prove who you are.
Yes.
By stating your name is, like mine, Wayne Kenneth, a family glue, I'm a living, breathing man. Forget all this nonsense that someone came from America a few years back and taught honour, dishonour and all the rest of the garbage and notice to someone's notice. That's all uniform commercial code. If you want to work with that, go for it, because it's been removed. And that's what Julian Assange put through. That's what took it all out.
Yes.
They took all out, and they took all that garbage out. So you don't need to. So my view is, if you're going in the court, do a submission in relation to the validity of the court under Chapter 3, Section 76, page 795, the fourth paragraph. If you exercise authority throughout the Commonwealth, you have to show in the Constitution where that authority comes from. If you don't, buy and get up and walk out. That's your alternative. It has to get to a stage where people have to bite the bullet and do it.
Yeah.
I had to put my property on the line, just say, I don't care what you do with it, I'm going to take you down to go after them, and I beat them. So what did they do? They sold my property while it was before the court. Even though the magistrate ruled, I don't have the authority to order him to remove his property off his land. Give you an order in relation to land. I don't have the authority. Why?
Yeah.
The Supreme Court Act says, but all three laws of England and the Imperial Act list your property in fee simple.
Yes.
Now, people don't understand fee simple, imperial law in this country. Who administers land in this country? The Crown. That is the governor.
Yes.
Only the governor of the states issues those titles. Now, who told the parliament in 1893 they could have the Land Titles Act? Every state's got it exactly the same time. Isn't that a coincidence? Not. No. It's a lie. It's a fraud. Didn't we know, the reason I referred to section 51, subsection 38, it says in there, even if it wasn't so that there was no authority granted to the Federal Parliament, the Federation under that section, so there goes their Australia Act, even if that was not so, there was only 7 legislative areas ever exercisable by the Australasian Council and even less by the colonies, and all 7 are contained in section 51 of the Constitution. And I said to that magistrate, read the law and weep, because you're going to jail for the rest of your life if you push this garbage. I'm going to push it there. Wake up to the fact, if there's no authority over land in there, you don't have any. It's as simple as that.
And the crazy thing is, you know,
they're
taking away people's properties, Wayne. There's no seal, no great seal. There's not even a bloody signature made. You know, there's just a stamp because because they think if I sign, then, you know, I lose my impunity. They don't even have that impunity. They are treasonous traitors. And if the Constitution doesn't get them, the bloody Law of War Manual for sure will get them.
Well, there's several things that come into what you just said. If they produce that title, they're in criminal contempt and in treason against the Crown of England, contrary to Horsbury's Laws of England. Now, the 1923 case in the High Court in relation to land and tax was New South Wales tried to, they took the Commonwealth, which had asked the court, to get permission to tax our land. And the High Court ruled no because of fee simple. That was Sir Isaac Isaacs, was the Chief Justice at that time. Now, he was one of the people who wrote the Constitution. He was very well aware that no one should have control over your land except you as a proprietor. So they decided, oh, we'll play games with this, and you become tenants and then tenants in common. And look at the benefits. If one spouse dies, you don't have to pay stamp duty. We're buying it off the other person. And people said, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, all right, if we no longer own the land and it's in fee simple, we own all aspects except the Crown still owns it, why are these properties for sale? Why aren't they for a 99-year lease or a permanent lease? Because you're allowing people to falsely advertise all this land for sale, which means it transfers ownership from him to me, and it never does. The car's the same. Why is it not that way? Why are you selling these things and stop leasing them? If you're going to tell the truth, you're going to say it's a 99-year lease or it's a serious lease for a period of time, and that must be standard on it, or the contract's not worth it. Correct. The contract's worth nothing. So if you don't have it on that title, hang on, this lease runs out in this time, or the Crown owns a percentage of doing that, but chattel real property. CHALLIS, Real Property, 3rd edition, Imperial Act, which is law in this country, which is how property sale and ownership comes from. Get rid of the corporations, because those corporations aren't subject to the law.
Well, you know, Wayne, history.
And that's a problem we've got. They put them in the corporations. They put everything.